You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Trees, mountains, a curious kittadoo.
It's time for the Green Desk on 95BFM.
Kia ora, welcome back to The Wire. This week on Green Desk, I take a deep dive into the environmental issues surrounding the proliferation of AI technology, particularly in New Zealand. In the context of Luxon's recent announcement about a $7.5 billion investment by Amazon Web Services into data centres in New Zealand, alongside the rapid adoption of generative AI in sectors across the country, academics have raised concerns about the environmental impact of the growth of this industry. Last year, University of Waikato's Dr. Amanda Turnbull co-published an article about how New Zealand is outsourcing the risks and costs of AI and data centres, highlighting the water and resource consumption of global reliance on data centres and AI. I spoke with Dr. Amanda Turnbull about her concerns relating to AI's environmental impact and how the New Zealand government should be responding to the ever-expanding industry. What are your main concerns surrounding the emergence of AI in New Zealand and globally?
So I think we could start by saying, you know, we all rely on our technologies, right? And we kind of probably can't exist without them, right? So they offer us some high hopes, right, for dealing with crises, especially when it comes to the environment. So, for example, AI and its infrastructure can help us, you know, chart emissions of methane gas. So this is good, right? But at the same time, there's a distinctly negative side to the explosion of AI, and it's not just of AI, it's AI and its infrastructure. So, for example, data centers have proliferated around the world. Something like in 2012, there was about 500,000 data centers. Globally, today, there's like 8 million and counting, right? So there's just an explosion of AI infrastructure. And these data centers, they house AI, they produce e-waste. So things like mercury and lead, they're large consumers of water. They rely on critical minerals, that are often mined unsustainably. And they use massive quantities of electricity, which contributes to the rise of greenhouse gases. So remember at the outset, I said, you know, AI and its infrastructure can help us chart some of this negative stuff. But at the same time, what we see happening is these technologies facilitate the exact same thing that they're trying to solve, right? So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
In a lot of my research on this topic, what I found was that, especially in the past year, the available literature relating to the use of AI across sectors, the kind of environmental concerns around, for example, the energy or water consumption of a ChatGPT prompt, they seem overshadowed by the technological potential of these programs. Do you think that these arguments that present the impact of AI as underwhelming are misleading consumers about the risks of AI?
I'd say without taking a balanced approach, the answer would be yes, right? So on the one hand, as I said previously, we've got high hopes for these technologies helping us deal with some of the crises that we're facing when it comes to the environment. But at the same time, AI is kind of a wild card, right? The infrastructure stuff, the data centers, we're starting to be able to predict their environmental impact. But AI is just, it's an unknown, as you were saying, right? Like one ChatGPT request can consume something like 10 times the electricity of a basic Google search. So on the one hand, for example, Parliament could benefit from generative AI helping with the massive quantities of submissions that it receives each year. But on the other, we're creating a kind of environmental negative side to help with the overall kind of overload of work that the government has to undertake.
You mentioned this kind of briefly, but who would you say will receive the most benefits of this AI expansion? And moreover, who is most endangered by the growth of this sector, especially if there is a failure to take meaningful legislative action in response to artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more nuanced than just adopting kind of generative AI in the country's processes, right? We need to take kind of a tailored approach to adopting technology. You know, we talked a little bit about how AI-related infrastructure, you know, these data centers, they consume massive quantities of water. So the statistics, you know, that are out there are that AI-related infrastructure may consume 6 times more water than New Zealand itself uses. You know, and this is staggering when you think more broadly about the globe, where a quarter of humanity lacks water. So there's kind of an ethical aspect to this as well, right? You know, we're talking about using technologies just for basic reading that use up water that people around the world actually don't have access to, right? So it's definitely not the historically marginalized that are going to benefit from the adoption of generative AI.
You co-published this an article in The Conversation where you mention a few kind of different options for responding to the pervasiveness of AI that included things like, you know, individuals self-imposing some digital sobriety, as well as some more governance level measures like imposing AI guardrails and scaling down the kind of language learning models that these programs are able to use. Can you talk a bit about what you think the most effective solutions to this issue will be, particularly with a focus on the environmental aspect of this problem?
So I think there's a number of things, as you just sort of summarized there. You know, sort of weaving the environment into AI policies and guardrails. You know, we're doing a pretty good job right now of talking about how to use AI ethically and how to prevent things like misinformation and hate speech. But we need to also think about weaving the environment into these AI policies. We could also look at making algorithms more efficient, sort of reducing demand for energy in their design. Can, you know, data centers should green countries should green their data centers. So it would require, if you're building a data center, to only use green forms of electricity. I mean, really, there's not a one kind of one answer to your question. It's kind of a multi-pronged approach that we need to take if we're adopting these technologies, as we're, you know, because we're still trying to discover how to actually measure what AI and its infrastructure uses. So it's kind of it's an ongoing kind of solution to weaving the environment into AI use and AI infrastructure use.
Yeah, definitely. You've also talked about previously that one of the issues of quantifying the impact of these technologies is the outsourcing of the overseas data centers, which mm-hmm. kind of makes it a bit challenging to summarize where these environmental impacts are being laid or who is responsible for them. Moreover, yeah. In light of this, do you think that there are any effective mechanisms on a global level for tackling the interconnected nature of the impacts inherent to AI development?
I mean, yes, it seems like we should be able to make a footprint or at least report on where technology companies use data centers. That's a start. But AI, as I've said before, is a wild card, right? It's not like flipping a light switch and you know exactly how much energy is being used. We're still kind of trying to understand rates, consumption, location. So I think, you know, reporting is probably key. Ethical reporting is key to establishing how how AI and its infrastructure uses data within countries and around the world.
Based on what you know or can perhaps predict about how AI will integrate into industries throughout Aotearoa, what kind of response would you like to see from the New Zealand government relating to this kind of technology?
I'd say the tailored approach, right? We're tailoring it for New Zealand rather than just adopting a kind of wholesale market-based approach or a state-based approach. Like, let's tailor it for New Zealand, because New Zealand, Aotearoa, New Zealand is a special place and we want to protect it.
Following my interview with Turnbull, I was interested in exploring how businesses are confronting the issue of AI, especially as it becomes more integral to work. Layer 3's solution director, Daniel Bowen, published an article earlier this year scrutinising the confusing data surrounding the water footprint of AI. I spoke with Bowen more about how businesses and consumers should engage with AI and better understand the environmental impacts. I start by asking about how he engaged with AI in his mahi.
Yeah, I'm the solutions director for Layer 3, which is an IT management and cybersecurity company. We focus a lot on the possibilities of IT, not just the problems. And obviously, a lot of the possibility now and in the coming years will be focused on AI. So AI is a talking point all of our clients are interested in. People have different levels of understanding about it, and so they come to us to find out what's good, what's bad, what can they do with it, how do they protect themselves against it, and how do they use it securely.
Yeah, kind of in that vein, you've written a piece about AI and the environment, the environmental impacts. I was wondering what motivated you to write this piece.
Well, AI is definitely the hot topic at the moment, and you know, we see a lot of the common talking points are, you know, what can we do with AI? Is AI going to cost jobs? Is AI going to be a security risk? But one day I saw one of my friends on social media shared a slide deck and was basically making claims that AI was bad for the environment. I think what it actually said was, each time you ask ChatGPT a question, you deplete the Earth's water resources. Well, that's really concerning. So, you know, you might be interested in AI, but also feel concerned for the environment. So I wanted to dig into that a bit more to see not just what I was getting into, but as a society, what are we getting ourselves into here? I wanted to dig deeper and actually find out what was behind that statement, how correct it was. And what I found was, like many things in life, it's not cut and dried. There's a lot of nuance to that question, and it really needs a bit of context and perspective to understand correctly.
Yeah, I found that the data on the environmental impact of AI is quite hard to read. I mean, I'm not an expert in terms of being able to understand whatever the statistics are, but it seems that it's framed quite differently by different people. And I was wondering, could you summarize kind of what you found? It's not as serious as some people make it out to be, but it is probably more serious than, I suppose, like a non-issue altogether.
Yeah, I think in order to understand what that statement means about water resources, it's just quickly important to note that AI runs on servers. Servers need to be cooled in order to stop from overheating, and the cooling for servers is water-based. So that's how it generally consumes like water and energy, is through these data centers. So the information can be a bit sketchy, and different people make different claims. What I found when I dug into it was that the water usage that AI consumed probably early on was worse than it is now, and hopefully tomorrow will be better than it is today. A lot of the heavy usage comes in actually training these AI models. So once they go into production, that compute power is slowing down. It's going into sort of production mode. So it's servicing everyone's requests, and that absolutely takes a lot of energy. But the amount of compute power to build these models is intense. So there's sort of like a huge draw early on, and I suspect that may have skewed numbers to look artificially bad, but that's not the level that it would consume, you know, going forward. The other thing that I found is that you have to put everything in perspective. So the most recent information I was able to find from ChatGPT is that a typical ChatGPT query consumes about 1/15 of a teaspoon of water, right? It's hard to even understand how much that is, and you have to think, well, how many prompts am I using a day? Is that really bad? But if we look at a smartphone, you could be on social media on your phone complaining about how bad AI is for the environment without understanding the unintentional hypocrisy, because apparently a smartphone can take around 12,500 liters of water to produce one phone. So according to that ChatGPT usage, that's about 38 million ChatGPT queries. A hamburger uses about 2,500 liters of water to create, apparently. So that's equal to millions of queries. So while AI definitely uses water, I think it's really important to put things in perspective. Yes, AI uses water, but less energy in water than streaming video does.
I suppose this water footprint that I'm seeing, I see it kind of in arguments, especially for going vegan, like to produce a hamburger or something takes more than to produce something that's not made from meat products. And that's also a big thing in the agriculture sector, I suppose. I've also seen a different claim actually about ChatGPT prompts, with every time you ask ChatGPT a question, you pour out like a bottle of water. So I feel like the data about this is quite confusing. I was wondering who you think should be responsible for kind of providing or producing this accurate and more clear data around the environmental impact of AI, and especially programs like ChatGPT as well.
Yeah, I definitely think there's some room for central oversight and reporting. At the moment, it's kind of like the Wild West. You know, this has come out of nowhere. If you think about how quickly AI has sort of taken over society, you know, the advent of email took about 20 years to sort of become what it is. Smartphones, about 10 years. AI has sort of ballooned in 2 years' time. So it's not enough time for the bureaucracies of the world to catch up and settle things down and put some measures in place. So I do think there's definitely room for some oversight and reporting, because yeah, there's wildly differing data. I would say that, you know, your thing about a bottle of water is probably grossly exaggerated. What I can say is that from what I've read myself, the prominent companies are aware of this and are focused on it and commenting on it. I think Google had reported that their energy use per prompt is actually like 33 times better now compared to a year ago. Google is quite good at this. They publish water and energy data for their Gemini prompts. Microsoft, Google, and Amazon are all investing in renewable energy for AI operations. And there's sort of improvements in the cooling technology with stuff like closed loop and immersion cooling, which will help reduce or eliminate that evaporative water loss. So I would like to think that the future of AI's environmental impact will continue to improve. But like I said, it's the Wild West. So all we can kind of do is watch and wait and keep checking on these things, because the more people show interest in it, the more the social conscious corporations will focus on it themselves.
Yeah, right. In that vein, I suppose, in your article, you mentioned some recommendations for how you reckon businesses can use AI responsibly. Can you talk about some of these ideas you had and maybe how you've been able to incorporate these into your services?
Yeah, so there's a business has a lot of questions around AI usage, who's allowed to use what tools for what purpose. But in terms of that sense of social responsibility, I think having good internal policies on AI usage in general will be an absolute requirement for every business. It will also help us use AI efficiently by minimizing that sort of frivolous usage where people just are leaning on AI for dumb questions. Let's focus on prioritizing these high-value tasks that will be meaningful in the workplace. Also, I think training staff on how to use AI properly. AI is a tool just like anything else. You know, even the simplest tool like a hammer has some nuance and skill to the way that it's used. You can't just bang on stuff indiscriminately with a hammer. and AI is no different. So as people learn to use AI with a higher degree of skill, it will cut down on the number of queries that we do, because you don't have to keep going back and forth with AI to massage the results that you get. If you learn to prompt clearly and efficiently and effectively right at the start, you'll be reducing the number of queries that you need to make.
Do you think that the New Zealand government should play a role with ensuring that businesses and consumers are aware of the real environmental impacts of AI?
I don't think it would hurt. I don't know what kind of control they would have, but as a sort of monitoring and reporting body of sort of putting information out there for public consumption would be great. New Zealand does have some great existing organizations that could probably include this into their portfolio. I also think that at the international level, because let's face it, these are not New Zealand services. These are global services that probably the United Nations would also be a great spot just to monitor and report on this stuff.
That was Layer 3 Solutions Director Daniel Bowen and the University of Waikato's Dr. Amanda Turnbull on AI's environmental impact.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.